rules. I told David a minute ago, he said, so you're talking on rules tonight? And I said, yes, otherwise known as the David Durante sermon. And where is he? He's left? You're breaking the rules by going upstairs? Every time we play a game, we want to know what the rules are. I think I've told y'all this story before, but it's always a good memory for me to go back to it. But one of our boys wanted me to play basketball with him one day. And we got ready to play, and he said, Dad, what I want us to do, I want us to play no rules basketball. And I said, okay, I win. And I started walking off. And he said, wait, what are you doing? And I said, I won. He said, how did you win? You didn't even shoot. We hadn't even started. He said, it's no rules. I told him, it's no rules. And I won. Matter of fact, if you want to be pressing it, you could say, well, I won too. But be all right. We both won. Just no rules. And when we look at things like that, that's kind of what we do from this that standpoint. But there's another side to this idea of rules, another side that's important and another side that's significant that we need to think about and that we need to understand. And this kind of ties in with our lesson last week on listening to God and on hearing Him. Because we have a tendency, when we listen to God, we want things to be black and white, and we look for the rules. And we want a checklist of the things that we have to do. And that's heading us in a different direction than where God would have us to go and where God would take us. How does the Bible describe our relationship with Christ? Well, it describes us as the bride. It describes us in a relationship like and similar to a marriage relationship. And you can think about all different kinds of rules that you do not have in a marriage relationship that will fit in to illustrate some of the things we're going to look at in just a second. Not only are we the bride, we're also the sheep. And we follow the shepherd. And that's a relationship that we are in with Jesus Christ. We're also His servant. And with regard to being a servant of Jesus Christ, we follow Him. These are all relationship things. And with relationship things, rules seem to diminish. And rules seem to make us be on a plane that is not exactly where we would have us to go. And all of this has to do more with relationship than it does with rule keeping. I wanted to share with you five statements that our own Wes McAdams blog site called Radically Christian. Tim introduced me to this website. I've enjoyed looking at it. I pulled something else from it not too long ago. But I wanted you to take a look at these statements that he has to make about rule keeping. And five things that happen when our mentality is with regard toward rule keeping. I remember a lady coming to me one time having a question, and we talked about both sides of it, and she didn't like that. She wanted it black and white. She wanted the rule. And that's sort of what happened with the church at Corinth when they wrote to Paul. And they wrote to Paul about whether or not it was okay to eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols. And evidently the group that has written the question to Paul wanted Paul to say, no, there's no such rule against it. Because they were of the persuasion, we've looked and there's nothing against eating meat that's been sacrificed to idols. So we want you to straighten out these other people and let them be aware that there's no rule against it. And Paul wrote back, but he didn't talk about rules. He said, there's no rule against it. But, and then he went into about three chapters where he talks about what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means in following Christ with your attitudes and with your example toward other people and other things. And he went through and he talked about all of those things. So, with regard to the problem with rule-keeping, think about these. Rule-keeping promotes sin. How does it do that? Just what we've just said. How many times do people say, I don't find anything against it? I've looked through the scripture and I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't see any verse that specifically says you can't do this. I want you to show me the verse that says I can't do this. And if I can't do this, then there's nothing wrong with me doing it. And instead of walking in the way Christ would have us to walk, we insist upon a rule in order to make sure we don't do what we're not supposed to do. And so that's what rule keeping does. It makes us look for the rules rather than the mind of Christ, rather than the heart of Christ, rather than what it means to be a follower of Him and to be His servant. And it causes us to do that. And rule keeping promotes sin. I remember I played football for Austin High School. And then I go to Freed Hardeman College, and they didn't have a football team, but they had an intramural program. And because I had played football in high school, they put me in charge of teaching the guys who were going to play on the line how to block. And teaching them how to block when we played in the games so that we could participate and we could play. Well, in keeping with my training, first thing that I do in telling them how to block is when you charge out and you hit somebody with your forearm to straighten them up or to start moving them back, and you grab a handful of their shirt and you keep pushing. They said, that's not legal. That's against the rules. And if you understand the rules now, the rules are such that it's okay to hold inside, but you can't get your hands outside. It's okay to get a handful of jersey on the inside, but you can't go to the outside. They have very specific rules because people are very good at knowing exactly what the rules state so I can do everything else other than that. And what it does is promotes sin. It promotes doing everything you can to actually violate the rule. And there's a lot of Christians who try to live that way in connection with the Word of God. They go around, there's no rule against that. Show me where it says that's wrong. And that's what Paul was dealing with the church at Corinth. Show us where that's wrong. And Paul started talking about relationship with others, influence with others, and about yourself. And where's your devotion? Where is your heart? And who are you trying to please? And he starts talking about a number of other different things, but he leaves rules out of it because it's not about rules. It's about coming to know Christ and walking with Him and being what He would have us to be. Rule keeping encourages doing the minimum. Tell me what I have to do. I remember in Wisconsin when we lived there, my neighbor knew that I was a minister for the church, and our boys had gotten real close and we were getting real close together. And he knew this was heading somewhere, and he didn't want it to go there. And so he came up to me one time when our kids were playing, and he said, okay, before we go any further with this friendship, I want to know something. And I don't want you to avoid the question. I want you to give me a direct answer. If we start coming to church, if we start allowing ourselves to get close to you and we have a Bible study, what I want to know up front before we go anywhere else is when this is all said and done and this is over, what are you going to do with my beer? And I said, I'm not going to do anything with your beer. You may do something, but I'm not doing anything with it. No, no, that's not good enough. I want to know, because you know, and you're just avoiding this question. I want to know, what are you going to do with my beer when this is all said and done, when this is all over? He wanted to know what's the minimum. He wanted to know exactly what was going to be touched. He wanted to know what the rules were. And knowing what the rules were, he was missing the whole point. Missing the whole point of what we would hope he would come to know and what we would hope he would come to learn, and the life that would be his from this point on. And so rule keeping encourages doing the very minimum. How many times have you heard the question, do we have to come on Sunday night to go to heaven? The joke where all the people are lined up coming out of the pearly gates of heaven, and the whispers and the cheers that start at the front and they move all the way back, and finally when they get to the back, somebody says, they're not counting Sunday night. And so there's rejoicing. It's rule keeping. It encourages us to do the very minimum. It encourages us to do the very least. This is what I have to do so I don't have to do everything else. And I don't have to do all this other stuff. It's not what God wants from us. It's not what God is after. A rule-keeping spirit promotes competition. I'm better than they are. They've only checked off 3 rules. I've done 5. And I'm a lot better than they are. They're doing this. But they only come on Sunday morning. I come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And so the rule-keeping spirit begins to promote competition. I'm better than others. And I have a closer walk with God because I've kept the rules and I'm keeping the rules. And this rule-keeping turns us into referees. Wow, does it ever turn us into referees? Where we're constantly judging and condemning others because of the rules. And the problem is, so often the rules are man-made. The rules of our own making, not what God has spoken. But it causes us to begin to be judgmental and corrective toward others because they're not walking in our rules. They're not keeping our rules. Rule-keeping creates a sense of entitlement. What do you mean I'm not faithful? I've done everything the rules say to do. What do you mean I'm not going to be saved? It's almost exactly like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. What do I need to do in order to inherit eternal life? What are the rules I have to keep? And Jesus says, keep the commandments. Which ones? And Jesus said, gave partial of the list. And he says, I've done all that since my youth. And he was happy and he was rejoicing. I've kept the rules. And then Jesus says, you lack one thing. Sell everything that you have and come follow me. And he went away sorrowful. Because he wasn't willing to do that. But he could have become angry. You have just told me what I have to do, and I've told you I've done all of that. I have kept the rules so I can be right with God. And that's the attitude sometimes that happens with regard to this rule keeping. And sometimes we're eaten up with it because we have these lists where we can check off the boxes, and we check off the boxes, and we think we've arrived. Or we take our list and we look at how other people are doing in connection with our list. And if they're not falling in line with our list, then they are not at all being what God would have them to be. And God would have us to change the way we think. He would have us to be obedient. He would have us to rise to a higher plane of obedience. A plane that goes higher than just a checkbox of rules. And a plane that goes higher than just looking for the minimum. And that obedience on a higher plane is described in so many different verses. And I want you to look at them in connection with those 5 things that we've just had on the board. And they are these. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul writes, therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to please Him. That's a whole different plane from rule keeping. Whatever I do in life, I want to please God. Whatever I do in life, I want to please Jesus. And I want to be and I want to conduct myself in every area of life in a way that pleases Him. That's far and away above rule keeping. There's no minimum looked for here. There's no sense of entitlement here. Because no matter how hard we strive, we know we're always going to fall short. And that's okay. Because our attaining to where we're always constantly pleasing Jesus is going to be impossible for us, but our salvation is not based upon it. Our salvation is based upon a relationship with Jesus Christ and our trust in Him and our faith in Him. And because we're striving to be what He would have us to be, His blood cleanses us and His blood saves us. But this is what God wants. There is no checklist. Find out what pleases me and do that. Follow me. It's what He's after. But then Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those of the household of faith. So rather than having a rule-keeping attitude that just simply looks for, what do I have to do in order to get to heaven? What's the minimum required of me in order to be accepted by God? Instead of having that kind of mentality and looking for that, why don't we look for what is the good and the right thing to do in every situation I'm in? Why don't I look for what is the thing God would have me to do, no matter where I am and no matter who I'm with, and to look for the opportunities to do what pleases Him and to do what's good, instead of looking for the minimum of the rule that I have to keep. Then there's this one. He has told you, old man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Instead of keeping the rules and having this competitive spirit that causes me to look at myself and consider myself better than others because of the things I'm checking off of the list and the rules that I am keeping. And instead of me looking at myself as being better than others who aren't doing the things that I'm doing, why don't I simply be what God would have me to be? And that is to love what's right, to love kindness and mercy and compassion, to walk in the image of God, which is all involved in that word love kindness, which is what we talked about 2 weeks ago, or a week ago. And to walk humbly with your God, to please Him, and to walk faithful to Him. And to do that and stop comparing myself to others and just strive to be like Christ. And just strive to be what God would have me to be. And then this one in Galatians 6:1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught up in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Doing that instead of approaching people with the attitude of a referee, instead of an attitude of approaching people with punishing them and exposing them, but in gentleness and in kindness, as Christ has directed us, to take those that are caught up in a fault and caught up in a trespass and go to them and try to bring them back to Christ. Doing so, looking at myself, because I could very easily go where they are going and do the things that they are doing. And how would I want to be talked to? How would I want to be treated? And how would I want to be dealt with? Not like a referee, but in the spirit and gentleness of Christ. And that's how we ought to be. That's not rule keeping. That's striving to have the mind of Christ and striving to be like Him. Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10, the idea of this entitlement. I've kept the rules, and therefore everything is fine with me. In Luke 17, Jesus tells the story, which one of you has a servant, and after that servant has worked all day long in the field and he comes in, which one of you would say to him, sit down and eat? You have worn yourself out today. But instead of saying that to the servant, you say to him, change your clothes, wash, dress the way you should, and serve me. And after I have eaten and had my fill, then you may eat. You don't thank the servant for doing what he's supposed to do. And so when you have done everything you've been commanded to do, you say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've only done what was my duty. I haven't earned a thing. I don't deserve a thing. And then in close connection with that, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, we are saved by faith through grace. Our grace through faith. And it's not of ourselves. It's not of the deeds that we have done. So there is no boasting. There is no bragging. There is no sense of, I have done it all. I have checked all the list. Everything that we have is by the grace of God. And the salvation that we will have in Christ Jesus is because of God's grace extended to us who were already dead in our sins and our trespasses. It's a different type of mental attitude that we need to have. And I want to tell you, I need to work on this hard. And I think all of us do. Because we've talked about and we've approached things from the standpoint of rule keeping for so long. And so many dangers that are pointed out in this mentality of rule keeping are almost second nature to us. And we need to step back and take another look at what God actually says in the relationship that He wants us to have with Him. And we need to stop being these rule keepers who are looking out to make sure everybody else is keeping the rules exactly like we think they should be kept. And we need to be people who are walking with the mind of Christ and striving to please Him and striving to be what He would have us to be. So are there rules? Yes, there's commandments, and yes, there's instructions. But most of the rules we have are our own doing. They're made up by us. We follow God, we listen to what He says, we follow His instructions, but overall we understand, as Paul did, all things are lawful for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is lawful for me. But not everything accomplishes what it means to have the mind of Christ and to walk as Christ would have me to walk. And so what I need to be striving for is not what I can do and get away with, but what does Christ want from me? And how should I live in order to please Him, in order to be His servant, in order to be His faithful bride, in order to be the one that honors Him as a sheep that follows every leading of His voice and of what He would have me to do. That's what we need to be striving for. Set ourselves free in Christ. Set ourselves free from the shackles that other humans might put on us and follow Christ. And look how high that will take us in the lives that we live for Him. If you're not in Christ yet, we want to give you an opportunity to be baptized into Christ if you're ready, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, or an opportunity to come home to Christ if that is your need. We offer you that invitation as together we stand and as we sing.